Chili Effect is sponsored by WallStreetWindow.com and listeners like you.
And now, the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck O'Shelly.
December 10, 2021, allegedly, according to that thing we call a calendar. This indeed is the show you were looking for. Maybe, because I don't know. Things are things. It is Friars Day night, so that means we're going to have open lines. I had an idea if nobody called in, I was going to do something, but right away before we got started, we got our first caller, and you could join us. 319-527-5016. 319-527-5016. That is the number to call in. I'll say it nice and slow. 319-527-5016. That is the number to call in if you'd like to join us on the switchboard, which I have control of. And I also have my co-host with me, B. Pete. He is along. What are we going to discuss tonight? Well, I know we can't discuss last night's Jordan Maxwell show because it didn't happen. So that's kind of, I don't know, maybe a blessing. Look, there's a reason for it. I don't even want to explain it, but next week Jordan will be back. All right, that's that. Anyway, before we even got on air, Captain Trips joined us too, so he's already on the line. And like I said, you could do that. Captain Trips joined me via Skype. Charles.Ocelli on Skype. Send me a message, and I can call you into the show. Otherwise, 319-527-5016. And I have no desire to discuss the wrangling that's going on in the Congress. Remember, Congress is a good word for intercourse as well. And, if you're getting done, why not use the proper terminology? You're in Congress. Okay, fair enough. So that's all that happens there. I'm sick and tired of all this. The democracy conference that Biden holds, as if there is a democracy to be discussed. Yeah, defending democracy. Let's have an international convention about that while things are actually happening. Sure, this all makes loads of sense. Of course it does. And hold on. I got to... Priorities. Sorry, Captain. I got to let B. Pete at least speak first. And I know you probably got some things to say. And I'm also tired of discussing the viral loads. How about that? That's just what I'm going to call it from now on, the viral loads, because it's just viral discussion about the alleged virus, about the viruses, about the variants. A lot of V's in there. And what do they tell you to think of when you think of the word, or the letter V, I should say? What word comes to mind? Never mind. NLP. Anyway, B. Pete, maybe you're in a better mood than I am. First of all, how you doing? But secondly, I know I'm going to get a weather report from North Carolina. So I'll tell you, it's been rainy and nasty here in Georgia and a bit cold for Georgia. But whatever. I don't know what to say anymore. In between migraines, been a bit of rain dumped on us. But outside of that, I don't know. Maybe it's different slightly north of me. How are you doing tonight, my co-host and friend?
Doing pretty good. We've had up and down weather all week. It started out nice, spring-like, then turned cold and rain. And it's been cold the past 2 days, but tomorrow's going to get right back up in the 70s. So, you know, North Carolina is one of those states where you go through all four seasons in one day. Just depending on what time you wake up. But other than that, I'm doing pretty good. What's got you so grouchy tonight?
A lot of things. So what can I say? Nothing is going as planned. How about that? Where else should I go? My head, I swear part of my brain is acting as though it's trying to kick its way out. I mean, that's what it feels like. Even though it's not really happening. I mean, my eyeballs feel like they're shaking, because they probably are. I'm really miserable. What else? Jeez, I'm broke. Nobody's cooperating with me off air on things. I've had to waste a lot of time talking to people that I can't even bring to air now, which I'm particularly aggravated at. Oh, by the way, I'm going to do a special broadcast on Sunday night, live on the network after the Bob Wilson show. I think an hour after he ends, I will have a special discussion, because I got to catch up on somebody else I had to cancel. Look, I'm not just aggravated over little things, though. It's just everything. Like, nothing is working out properly. and I'm just generally miserable because my head is killing me every single day. And it's getting to me, and it's like there is just not much good going on. I gotta tell you, it's like everything internally. I'm hating things right now, honestly. So that's what it is. I'm just miserable, and I'm trying not to be miserable outward, but I can't help it at this point. I'm losing my mind, honestly. So you asked, sorry. I'd rather hear more about the stuff that you dug up on that property. that was an interesting discussion. The guy that might have been a hoarder or collecting other things. But we also have Captain Trips with us. So we can go to him anytime you want. Anybody who calls in, 319-527-5016. Anyway.
I dig up any new stuff on the property. I've been working all week, but I'm going to head over there. I got to work tomorrow. I'll probably head over there Sunday. So there's no telling what I'm going to find at the bottom of this one area. I got to get cleared out. Other than that, trying to trace down the electrical. Supposedly there's a line running to the garage, but I haven't found a breaker that makes it work yet. You know, just little things like that. But I'll delve more into that on Sunday when I can really get to the bottom of things. Literally, when I finish digging, I'll be at the bottom of the foundation. Hopefully I won't find any surprises, but you never know.
You never can tell with that. I'll tell you what I was surprised at this week is I put together, you know, one of those cabinets that you put together or a piece of furniture you get, right? And it's like here you learn terms like cam lock and cam bolt because you got all these little pieces of assembly and stuff like that. So I put together one of those stupid things with the particle board and everything else. And looked fine, looked great, seemed to be done well, stood it up, and you know what happened? The thing just, like, unzipped itself and destroyed itself in place. and I'm like, yeah, after spending 4 hours trying to interpret what you mean by left or right and trying to follow the drill holes that were there supposedly and da-da-da-da-da, I had that happen this week, too. That was fun. About 4 a.m., you know.
Huh?
About 4 a.m. it took me till to finish messing with that because none of that stuff is super clear, you know, and it's like I get totally annoyed with assembling things like that. I really hate it. And I did it, and then the thing just collapsed. Even though it was put together right, the bolts literally ripped out of the wood and everything. It just cascaded and just failed in place. So that was fun.
IKEA failure.
Kind of like, yeah, but it wasn't even IKEA. It was, you know, one of these, I don't even remember the brand name, but then tried to return it and they won't take it back. I'm just saying, everything I touch this week is kind of like, yeah, nothing's working right.
But they wouldn't take it back?
No, there's this whole thing because it was shipped to us in the first place, and then you go to the company, they tell you what to do to give it back to Federal Express. Federal Express shows up and says, you don't have a printed out label, so we can't take it. And it's like, okay. Well, they told me, write this information on a piece of paper and you take it. Well, we're not. Okay, so this thing's still on the porch, and then it got rained on some more, and I'm like, okay, this is all good. So now I got a wet box of broken cabinet on my porch. Anyway, just saying.
How's Captain Trips doing?
Oh, Trips.
I'm here. I was muted listening to the back and forth. I'm okay. The furniture thing, I've been through that. I spent 18 hours trying to put a bunk bed together from IKEA one day. I swear they pay people to make those torturous. They have to. That has to be some kind of a plot. Anyway, yeah, I'm okay. I'm just, you know, surviving in the formerly United States of America and almost the Saturnalia season.
Yeah, that's one of the possibilities for that. That's upcoming, you know. just by the by.
Yule, I mean, whatever you want to call it. I like them all. I'm actually off this year, so that's that'll be nice. I don't know. It's not too much, you know. I'm just You had made the comment about, you know, you're done hearing about the virus and you're done hearing about this. And you know what? I agree with you. I'm starting to take on the outlook of some of these other outlets. I know Corbett has kind of switched to this, and a few other people. Can we stop talking about the problem? We know what the damn problem is. What are we going to do? How are we going to get on with our lives? Because, you know, they're not going to let us live our lives. So we have to figure out a way to live our lives in spite of them. And honestly, that's what I'm working on. I'm figuring out how I'm going to battle the booster thing. We haven't heard anything. I don't know that they're even going to go that route, but I'm prepping for it. And might actually take some of the...
Well, Trips, wait a second. Wait a second. Hmm. You won't have to battle the booster because they're just going to change the definition of what is fully vaccinated.
I did pay attention to the court decisions that had come out, all the federal court decisions. And I can't remember which one it was. There were three big ones. Two of them, or there may have been four big ones. At any rate, only one of them did the judge make a ruling that affected the entire country. The rest of them were all regional. I know there was one that was like Kentucky, Tennessee, and another state in that area. And then there was one that involved like Louisiana and whatnot. Anyway. One of the state's attorneys general, the argument they presented was this vaccine is clearly not preventing transmission, which is the only reason why you would mandate a vaccine is to stop an outbreak. But that clearly isn't what this vaccine is doing. Mm. And the judge sided with that argument. So if I'm faced with it, I may just pull out that stop and just pull the legal argument on them and see what happens.
Yeah, I don't know how well that's going to work. Happens. Yeah, and again,
I don't know that it'll work either.
See, and again, you know, some people have gotten away so far with, you know, keep getting tested instead of getting the dose. I'm trying to come up with different words to use, by the way, so certain platforms don't ban or strip my shows immediately out of hand based on a keyword. Thanks.
How about we'll call it the intervention,
or the special candy cane. I don't know, the intervention. Ooh, whatever. Yeah. You know.
I like the special candy cane.
So this year's I like the 2021 special candy cane. Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. try and deplatform me for that. Go ahead. I really, seriously, a bunch of my anyway, that's a whole other issue that, you know, again for hate speech, thank you again for I see somebody else got hit for cyberbullying a dead man. That's fun. I might reach out to them to see if they'll come on the show.
Someone else got nailed for cyberbullying Epstein.
Yeah, Jason Burmes apparently. I wasn't aware of it until I was watching a video somebody sent, you know, look at this, because that guy Addy Ads was on a couple of shows, and I got totally annoyed with, what is that guy's name? Sam Tripoli, right?
Sam Tripoli. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got annoyed with him because I'm like, yeah, 15 minutes into his show and all I've gotten is plugs. So somebody said, well, take a listen to Jason Burmes talking to Addy Ads, right, who's covering the Epstein trial. And by the way, he did respond to me finally on Twitter and has agreed to come on the show. We got to set it and see if I can get a regular straight report from what's going on in New York. But that's more behind the scenes inside. You guys who are on the Skype contact list, you know this more than other people do. But anyway, I'm always working to bring new people, better people, people that are reporting directly onto the show, even if my success rate is slower and lower than it should be lately. I'm still working on it, folks. Okay.
You know, have you this is more. Oh, sorry. This would be definitely about the sickness and the. Special candy cane. Hmm. But are you familiar with Chris Martinson?
The name,
his Peak Prosperity site.
Okay, I've looked at his stuff before. Look, I look at so many different things. You wouldn't even, you know, it's almost a blur at this point. I try not to listen to a lot of alt media, though, honestly, because I don't want these guys to influence me.
No, I understand. Did you happen to, I sent that out in our thread, by the way. It was a YouTube. It was a discussion with him and a Belgian, not economist, a psychiatrist or psychologist, talking about the whole concept of mass formation and mass basically mass insanity. And if you get a chance and listen to it, it's about an hour long, but I think this guy nails it. About what's pretty much taken over the world. But Martinson talked to him and did a really good interview with him. I don't know if he would be someone, because I have a limited contact with Martinson, not a whole lot, but I do have some connection to him. I don't know if that'd be someone you'd want to hear from or talk to.
No, you never know. Listen, I'm willing to talk to anybody who's got intelligent information to bring forth, even if I don't necessarily agree with all of it. You know, like you mentioned Pilato earlier, it's funny because ever since I started my show, I've tried to get him on and I can't for some reason, even though he's been kind enough to present me advice about things that he's heard on my show. When he heard a sound problem, he told me how to fix it. And I didn't even ask him for advice.
Yeah, I didn't hear about that. I knew you said you could never get him on, which is odd because frankly, I think, well, I'm not going to say anything, but that's just odd. It seems like he would. Come on.
Well, he would make sense on my show, really, because, we both have stylized presentations and we each have a musical orientation. He's a little more, I don't know how to describe it, smarmy about his commentary sometimes than I am. A little more, what is a good word for that? Let me think.
You're more measured.
Sometimes, and
more measured.
Some of his stuff is more for comedic reaction. You know, it's like, look at how ludicrous this is. You know,
And a lot of it is the shock value of some of the stories he gets. It's definitely the shock value of some of that stuff.
Yeah, like when he's sitting there talking about how they're going to make it mandatory in the UK for people to have to. This is just this week, by the way. They're going to make it mandatory for people to have to chip their cats, right? And he'll all of a sudden spin into, they're going to make it mandatory for you to chip your cat and, because you're going to get all the good benefits of that and everything else. Kind of like a shock collar, I think he said at one point, which is, a funny reference, but you think about it, it's like, that's
exactly what it is.
The kind of thing I would think of, but, I would say, you got to be able to track your pets after. I mean, I might say something like that every now and then when I'm reading a news story. But he really has it amped up and does it with a particular attitude that is snarky, I think was the word I was looking for, more than smarmy, snarky kind of attitude toward news stories. So, but at the same time, you would think that him and I would be a good fit, and it's not like we're unfriendly to one another.
I would love to hear the two of you talk. I think it would be extremely interesting and probably extremely entertaining. So it's odd that he doesn't respond to you. It's just so strange.
Yeah, very weird.
Because it seems like it would be a good fit for him too.
And it's not like, again, he works with Corbett all the time.
Exactly.
And Corbett is friendly to me. he used to work with Clyde Lewis, Pilato, the Ground Zero radio thing. He was a producer for Clyde Lewis as well. And I was friendly with Clyde Lewis. I mean, Clyde made fun of my name the last time I called him in on his after show, which, was kind of goofy and everything. But, I mean, he's apparently personally not unfriendly with me. Now, some of his producers, that might be different. But, just saying, there's a universe in which him and I have been allies on the same networks, working with the same people, and yet I literally directly ask him, hey, you want to come on? He kind of says yes, but never, ever commits.
Interesting.
And it's like, 8-9 years of this. I don't know what But wait, maybe it's actually about 9 years of it. And that's a pretty long string for me to never ever finally, I mean, I had Jay Dyer on just this week, which Nature Boy booked. There was some question as to whether
I haven't listened to that. How'd that go?
Well, that was interesting, but I just kind of went, look, we're going to cut through some of the current events, and I want to get to what your kind of esoteric spiritual view of all this is a bit. You know, because
yeah, he's more of an Eastern Orthodox Christian, isn't he?
Well, he described himself as an Orthodox Christian, and I didn't question which kind of orthodoxy that was. I just simply, you know, okay, fine, that's your mark. Mm-hmm. And so through the lens, let's talk about the Book of Revelations. You know, and I thought that was a way to go without going into all the details of what is, because I really do feel like,
sure,
you know, either it's the template or it is the prediction of the prophecy itself, because look, you have to have the mark.
I can't argue with you.
Well, I can't either, but based on the overall facts and the idea, you need a mark to be able to trade, right? You need to be able to, just saying.
I've read the New King James Version Bible at least two times. It's been a long time. I have picked it back up again. Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, there's just is someone using it as a template? That's a very good question. Is someone using it a template, or is this really what was said 2,000 years ago? I don't know, but I'm beginning to even, you know, I think I've mentioned this before, I'm beginning to even wonder if maybe David Icke was onto something with the whole lizard people.
Well,
because whoever these people are that are in charge, they're not human.
See what I mean? See what I mean? I've said this too, right? Where I'm like, David Icke is crazy, but maybe not too crazy.
Exactly.
That was part of what I went to on him. I said, you know, explain this. I mean, are we looking at evil, or are we looking at... Because simply describing somebody as a sociopath doesn't explain why people would be into this if we're right about all of what we're seeing here. Which, again, you know, I know specifically, and I've read over it. I mean, I don't have a copy of a King James Bible right now because I gave away my last copy. I often give away Bibles to people that need them. But I'll acquire another at some point, probably soon. You know, they come my way and they go. Funny thing, I actually have a Book of Mormon right now, which I have to reread a little bit to get myself straight.
There's one I haven't read.
Well, look, I go through all this stuff. You know, currently I don't have a Quran either. But I've only very rarely had those. I haven't had one of those since, I don't know, the early 2000s. But anyway, the thing is, it's like, okay, look, regardless of whether it's chicken or egg here on the concept seems to be coming to life. So what does this mean? One way or another, is it being provoked or evoked, or is it simply just, well, we can use... You know, and that's why I also said to Dyer that I want to have him back to discuss The Matrix, because in one of his books he did a very serious breakdown of it, and there's the three movies which have...
Is that in his Esoteric Hollywood book?
It's the second of his books.
Does he break it down in that?
It's in the second of his books, whatever the name of it is. He clarified that then. And the thing is, I said I want to have you back because fourth movie's coming. You know, even if we just take a look at the fact that people have adopted and adapted these various concepts, and it's an intricate piece of art, there is the, you know, look, objectively, again, there is the overall Christ narrative, which is in there. You know, Anderson is the son of a man. If you look at the interpretation, he's Mr. Anderson, so he's man, son of man. You know, again, all throughout the actual messaging in there, and there's even direct, there's biblical notations in the movie, even. You go to different... So the thing is, there's the biblical angle, and then there is the political angle and the rebellion, and people have now adopted the red pill, especially the alt-right has, for sure. Are they correct about that? I don't think so.
I don't know.
You know, but there's a lot of interpretations there, and so Dyer is definitely going into it. Yeah, go ahead.
Don't forget the philosophical angle. I mean, it's almost a direct contemporary retelling of Plato's allegory of the cave.
Well, there's that concept. There is just the concept of the technology overtaking the physical. There is the transhumanist agenda. Clearly accepted all the way through, because no matter where you go, this is about the interactivity of the machines and the organic, And really, before the movie even starts, in my mind, it is already surrendered. There is no paradigm by which the machine is not necessary for human survival. And the question is, you know, is it, if you take a look at the discussion in the second movie about with the elders there, you know, look, mm-hmm. do we control the machines or do they control us? Is that the only difference? And by what level of control is control? Because if we destroy all this right now, we don't survive anyway. So in some way, you know, who is truly the controller? And it's a larger philosophical question. So there is the transhumanist discussion that goes on in the movie. There is the religious discussion. There is the templative.
And don't forget, with the transhumanist, there's also the transgender, because what did the Wachowski brothers become not too terribly long ago?
Well, look, it's in there, and most notably through the character of Switch, which they lost the argument with the film company about, you know, changing the gender of that character continuously. But at the time, they were the Wachowski brothers, and the
they're now the Wachowski sisters.
Yeah, well, but the thing is that the entire paradigm of the transgenderism is
transhuman.
Well, it's more transhuman, one, and two, the transgender thing doesn't work all the way through the movie.
No, no. And actually, what I was referring to was the, because I'm coming to, actually Corbett did a good thing. It might have been one of his questions for Corbett. It was in the last 2 weeks on the, I think it was, it was questions for Corbett, and it was titled, "What is the Trans Agenda?" But the way he breaks it down and looks at it more, it kind of takes the sexual part out of it. Mm-hmm. And looks at it more in terms of the, you know, of transhumanism and technocracy, and it really makes a whole lot of sense. You know, only almost to the point of it's simply a way to almost androgenize everybody.
Yeah,
put you into
and that is a worthy discussion, but it doesn't hold up as a complete arc in the series.
No,
it's introduced.
Oh, no, not
in
the Matrix. No.
You know, right. but then again, the story of Christ does, because even with Cypher, you have a Judas, you have the crucifixion and resurrection, you have the resurrection once again, you have the introduction of the Trinity itself through the character of, guess what, Trinity. You know, I'm just saying, it holds up more as a biblical allegory retold, or the cave retold, but when you get into transition, it's more about transhumanism and the integration of the technology more than anything.
Yes.
But the transgender thing is present. I think it wasn't fully expressed, and who knows what this new one is going to do.
I think it was way too early.
Yeah.
If you think about it, because the Matrix, the initial one, it came out in either, 98 or 99.
First
and
one.
There was still, same-sex marriage was still forbidden in the entire country at that point. So I don't think bringing up one step further, so to speak, would have been very successful.
Right, fair enough. So let's see. We have a new addition onto the call, and we're going to have a couple of more coming up, because I got one on the phone line and one more on Skype. But it looks like we may have someone from Oceania with us.
That is definitely correct.
There we go.
There you go.
Have not heard from you in a while, Ray. How's it going, man?
Yeah, not too bad. Work hours have been a little bit tricky to get on the show.
Well, look, you got to work when you got to work, brother. I mean, and I appreciate any effort that you make to participate. Of course, you probably noticed that we've been hearing from another friend in Australia lately. No offense to you, but Ben is doing a great job showing up and giving us some reports.
He's excellent.
So... and it wasn't intended for him to be on both Jeffrey's show and my show this week, by the way, but we may get a greater explanation from that when we are joined by Nature Boy shortly. But Ray, you know, as per usual, new caller, I give you priority to discuss stuff, and at some point I'm going to have to turn things over to B. Pete and let him run stuff too. So what's on your mind today, sir, outside of trying to work around your work and living in the place where the app is apparently tracking everybody's vaccination status? How you doing?
Yeah, good. And that whole app thing, I just deleted it off my phone.
nice.
Screw that. I'm out. But I haven't been scanning QR codes either, and no one says anything.
Nice. So you have not been called on the carpet for refusing to integrate and plug in, huh?
Not at all.
All right.
Now, Ray, are you sure that's safe, though? I thought Dan Andrews just announced it was punishable by death.
Oh, they can come and get me if they want.
Better watch. They may send Jacinda from next door to y'all. She'll come and get you.
Wow.
Woo.
Wow.
She scares me a little more.
I'm trying to figure out whether she's related to a horse in some way.
Well, it is.
Oh, God. I can't say what I'm going to say. If I want to say it, the show gets dinged. Oh, man, Ray, that's not fair. I don't want Chuck's show to get pulled. Okay, fine. I won't say it. Yes, I agree with you. But I'd much rather have lunch with Mr. Ed.
Yeah. Probably better conversation, too.
Why the long face? Okay, Ray.
Yeah.
So outside of that and the sinister laugh of Captain Trips, what else is on your mind, man? I mean, you're avoiding the Matrix at the moment. We were just talking about the Matrix. You're avoiding the Matrix, the Oceana one anyway. Are you at war with Eurasia? I mean, what's happening?
Not yet, but there's some action in the South China Sea. It's starting to ramp up a little bit, but not a hell of a lot. Don't get much information on it, really. What else is there?
I don't know. I'm still waiting to hear from Ymir, by the way. And people have reached out to try and see if they can get in touch with him as well, and we're getting nothing back. I hope everything is okay with our friend in Ukraine. But
yeah, so do I.
You know, still
that's
saying.
Up well.
Yeah, you're right. I haven't seen anything from him lately. Now that you say that.
Well, given the fact that we're confronted with the idea that, here we go again. Are the Russians massing 175,000 troops on one of the borders for no reason? Probably not. You know.
No.
I doubt they're having a picnic.
Yeah, I'm sure they're not there to, you know, deliver toys for tots, okay? But, you know, what is actually happening, I don't exactly know. Anyway, Ymir, if you hear any of this, just give us a word that you're okay, brother. That's all I'm asking. All right, moving on. Ray, so what else is on you? We keep interrupting you. What else is on your mind? Sorry, man.
I'm just trying to relax with all the crap that's going on. The people repeating what's on TV without actually, I don't know, doing a little bit of research.
Okay. Okay.
Vaccine mandates are starting to worry me a little.
Well, what are they? What has been the result so far outside of you deleting the app and? You know, trying not to get snagged. I mean, you can't really leave your region, though, without scanning something, right? I mean, you have to kind of stay in your, what do they call those over there? I forget. They're kind of like states, I guess, but they're not.
Yeah, they are states.
Oh, they are states.
States and territories.
Okay, you do have states and territories. Sorry, yeah. I'm trying to be cautious because I totally screwed up the other night when he was talking about, he was calling it footy. And I'm thinking to myself, well, he must mean soccer, but I'm stupid because I forgot about Australian rules football, which looks like rugby to an American who might even not have a chance to know what rugby is.
Yeah, it's rugby where you can throw the ball forwards.
Yeah. but like I said, it's Australian rules football. Quite football, not quite soccer. The field looks like a soccer field, kind of. But
it's an oval field.
Yeah, but Americans don't know this sport, really. And even I'm just vaguely aware of it.
Yeah, there is an American league over there for it.
Yeah, but there's
it's
also...
It's not real big, but it is over there.
Yeah, well, you know, here we are. We got so many sports over here, though. What are you going to do? We've had various attempts to have different soccer leagues here, too, that have not worked out. There used to be, mm-hmm. what, the North American Deadly. Soccer League, which was like an arena league. And I remember the New York area had the, I think it was called the Cosmos was the name of the team in the New York area.
I remember the Pittsburgh Spirit. My grandfather had season tickets. We used to go all the time in indoor soccer.
Also, we had a second football league at one point called the USFL, and New Jersey got a team called the Generals. An idiot named Trump was part owner of that. And, yeah, totally flopped and failed. But
what was the name of the indoor football league? What was the name of the indoor football? That wasn't the USFL, was it?
No. The USFL was just another football league. The indoor another one league. Is Arena League Football, and then...
is that what it was?
Well, there was Arena League Football, and then Vince McMahon had the XFL, which was... So, I mean, this is what I recall. Really, BP is more the expert on this stuff than me, but I recall these things. BP, maybe you could fill in some of these gaps for me, help me out. How aware do you think people are of even Australian rules football in America? I might have put BP to sleep. I'm sorry.
Or he's talking to his mute.
I'm gonna say hardly at all.
Uh-oh. Okay, I don't know where BP is. maybe he's on.
Yeah, I thought he was being a bit quiet.
Yeah. Well, I didn't give him a chance to talk there. He might have just like said, "Well, I can go to the bathroom or something." So, but we'll come back to him. Nature Boy, are you on the call now?
I am.
Oh, okay. So we did connect you. I got a little confused there, too. We have one caller on the regular phone lines. Ray, was there anything else you wanted to get into before I get to Nature Boy, let him speak, and then get to the regular caller?
No, let be. Nature Boy.
Fair enough. Keep Nature Boy, what's on your mind tonight as we search for BP and get ready for another caller? How are you doing, first of all? Second, the Jay Dyer and Australian Ben thing happened on Wednesday, but Ben was not, was the original scheduled guest, then changed out, then came back, because there was some things going on there. I didn't mean to have him on my show right after he was on Jeffrey's show, but I also had a problem that day and started Jeffrey's show late. It was just a bad day. But we turned out with a pretty good hour with Jay Dyer, and actually... Ben's hour is good, too, although, first of all, the language was rough because of George Carlin, first, and second, because it was unplanned, it was one of those things that, you know, wrong keywords were uttered. You can't put it on YouTube, I'll tell you that. You can't put it through Google Podcast. Anyway, Nature Boy, what's up? What happened there? Why did we have Australian Ben back, and do you have anything else on your mind?
Yeah, that was a fun night. I was, it's just live broadcasting. There's a lot of things behind the scenes that are going on that the listeners aren't necessarily aware of. And that was one of those nights. Originally, it was supposed to be Ben. And then he said, "Hey, I've got this really great replacement guy." So I looked him up. And he said, "I got the last minute calls to go on Jeffries. I don't want to just bombard everything." And he says, "But, you know, check this guy out." So I did. He had it lined up. And unfortunately, it was just a conflict of scheduling between California, Macon, Georgia, and Australia. He got the hours mixed up. He's like, "I have to go to work." So at the last minute, I had been kind of in the can the whole day saying, "Hey, look, man. If he doesn't show up, then you drop in." And sure enough, Ben, true to his spirit, did. You know, and unless we mentioned anything, nobody would have known. But, it was an interesting afternoon, but fun nonetheless. Fun nonetheless. I love doing it.
Yeah, and I want to leave it open to bring that other guy back on because he's an interesting fellow from what I could gather, but I had never spoken to him before. So I would have had another guy who actually does regular voiceover work in Australia for some larger corporate interests, actually. And I it just would have been an interesting discussion, I think. But
well, I have him on next Wednesday's show.
Oh, he is. Okay.
So, yeah, I rebooked him. And I was like, "Yeah, we have to bring you on." And I had an open slot I needed to fill. I said, "Will you do it?" He says, "I'd love to do it." And then we confirmed the times. double check the time. So that's he's going to come on, I believe, on the second hour next week. And we have William Ramsey on the first hour doing the smiley face killings.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting one. I'll tell you that.
That's creepy. Yeah, he sent, and I'll forward it to you, he sent a link for his videos, and I just started watching it when I got off work, and I haven't finished it. Dude, he goes through case after case after case after case, and he's just setting up the story at this point. And it's real creepy. If it's going to go where I think it's going to go, this is a major serial killing cult ring or something like that. So it's going to be an interesting show. Oh, and then we've got the Tupac show, the 2-hour show, well, almost 2-hour show, right, beginning of January. So
yeah, and
got a lot
be,
of good things coming up.
And that'll be with Potash or Potash back again. I always screw up his name, but we know what we're talking about there. The drugs as weapons guy. And, you know, he's done some great work on a bunch of other things. I want to talk to him about Tupac because I think that's interesting. And it'll be a break from the news cycle at the time, whatever the hell it is. So, good and interesting. You know, the smiley face thing, by the way, I've been hearing about this for years. And I haven't really, look, I didn't want to tell Ramsey this directly, but honestly, for a long time, I didn't want to take it seriously because it just, there's a lot of people that come up with these, you know, they try and link Ted Bundy to a group. And they try and link this one to a group. And they try, I mean, and that's one of the best known names. And some of it makes sense and some of it doesn't. People are reaching and trying to create a conspiracy where there's just, you know, a general sort of, yeah, there's these vague commonalities between some people that are clearly twisted and most likely evil. You know, and it doesn't always work. But the smiley face thing, there's some intricate details here where I'm asking some hard questions. I've been made privy to a couple of the details of some of these people that, you know, the authorities are saying are not connected, and some of the weirdness that has been ignored in examinations now.
Yeah.
And I gotta tell you, it's throwing up serious red flags for what are they, why are they, well, first of all, different medical examiners across the country have different degrees of how it is they don't want to do their job, it looks like. But we should know that in general. Mm-hmm. Secondly, if they're ignoring clearly definable things that are happening in cases to individuals and how their homicides are occurring, and remember, a homicide is not necessarily a murder. So I'm starting with the premise that it's a life being ended by the actions of a person on a person. Okay, so it is a homicide, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's a murder. If you start from that premise and then you ignore some of the direct evidence along the way, you're not going to come to the proper conclusion. And in some places, medical examiners are not even required to be doctors. And I hate to sound like arrogant, but I could do a better job than some of these guys do. And they miss things that are very obvious. And in the smiley face cases, there's a couple instances here where I've been shown material and I'm like, how did they not make note of that? That is absolutely ridiculous.
Well, here's another thing to kind of throw into what you just said. Could it also be that they might notice those types of details, but know that if they do reveal those details, it could make life a lot more complicated for just them and other people? I mean, there are incompetent people, but there's also a lot of people that will turn the other way. In fact, there's some coroners, and there's cases of this, that just say, yeah, nothing happened here. It's like, wait a minute, his head was blown off with a fucking shotgun. Nothing to see here. So just throw that in the monkey wrench.
No, fair enough. But what I'm saying is there's a variety of things going on here. I'm not even saying that the coroners are part of it, or the medical examiners or coroners, which are not necessarily the same thing. I'm not saying that they are part of any sort of conspiracy necessarily. As a matter of fact, I think it may be more of a, like, I don't really want to go into any more investigation here. I got mm-hmm. enough things on my plate, mm-hmm. You know, or whatever, and let's just move on.
Yeah, exactly. Let's close this case. I've got 10 stacked up, and I know I got another 3 coming in tonight. So, boom, 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 bam.
And as Cyril Weck learned when he got almost bankrupt by people attacking him over political reasons, there's also political considerations in those offices where, mm-hmm. you know, if people want to make your life a living hell and drain you of everything that you have, they can do that if you kick over the wrong rock, too. So... Mm-hmm. There's a variety of things that go on here, and I'm not saying that I know the answer. I just know that somebody is not doing the full job they need to be doing, and that is suspicious yep. immediately, and leads you to not have a proper understanding to file these homicides away one way or another. So with yes. all that in mind, and with what's upcoming, we got a few minutes left. B. Pete, are you back on the call here?
Yeah, I've been here.
I called out for you and you weren't there.
That connection, I don't know. No, but I've been listening whole thing.
Okay. Well, no, at one point did you hear me say, you know, B. Pete, where are you? And well, maybe he fell asleep and all that.
Yeah, and I responded. I just, for some reason it just didn't go through. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Nobody else heard him, right? It wasn't just me, was it?
I didn't hear.
Oh, I didn't think
I heard
so.
Static. Like
yep,
there was
I didn't hear him either.
Okay. Something went wrong there. Sorry about that, B. I was actually asking you about, I wanted you to clarify about the sports stuff, but we have another caller now who's been waiting for a bit because we had the other Skype callers, and anybody who wants to call in, obviously, 319-527-5016, please do that. So far on Skype, we have Captain Trips, we have Nature Boy, and Ray from Down Under. I know people's last names. I try not to use them just in case this kind of thing will get them in trouble. So it's up to them if they want to push it out there. And Captain Tripp's not the first or the last name. So, you know, I'm sure you already knew that. Anyway, let's go to the caller.
I'm thinking of changing it, though.
Again?
Yeah, officially. I'll just officially become Captain Tripp's.
Oh.
Well, by day, Paul.
Okay, sounds good.
I mean... It worked for Colonel House, didn't it?
Suppose. Why not?
That was a good one, Captain. That was a good one.
So let's go to the caller.
You need to find me a president influence.
If I had one... okay. Anyways, caller on the line, you are on, and you now have the priority in the discussion. And B. Pete, if your signal keeps working... I think you ought to take over for the last 10 minutes of this hour and get us to the end of it. But brand new caller, there you are. And how you doing tonight, sir?
I'm fantastic. How you guys doing?
There we go. I thought it was you. I couldn't quite see my board. But, yeah, there we go. Vance, Vanarchy. We didn't hear from you this past Monday. What happened this past Monday? I forget. Oh, wait, we did hear from you this past Monday.
You heard from me on Monday, not last Friday, though.
That's what it was. You were going to call in on Friday, and I didn't hear from you then. I don't know. I can't keep my head straight at this point. I'm serious. Like, I'm like, it seems like 2 weeks ago that I talked to you, because the past few days just felt like, you know, 14. It's not your fault. I'm just a mess. Don't mind me. Anyway, what's on your mind, sir?
No, I'll say, first of all, hi to Captain and Nature and BP and everybody.
How are you, Vance?
Great. How y'all guys?
Fantastic. How you doing, man?
Well, you know, today's not like the best day ever. At 5 o'clock, there's a memorial here at the bar for a friend of ours that died last Saturday, and so I've been here. You know, I'm at least a sheet and a half to the wind. but I was playing pool, you know, before the game, so I didn't get on till 7:30, so I didn't really hear any of the conversation, you know, before that. But yeah, just glad to be here and hope everybody else is doing well. I send some love out to my buddy Royce.
Royce.
Sorry to hear about your friend, Vance.
He's on the next level now, so. And it's kind of sad because he was a younger guy that was really kind of in tune with what's going on, and we had a lot of, you know, really good conversations. And
maybe he can help from the other side.
Really good guy. So that's what I'm hoping. He's with the Army of Angels up there, you know, whatever.
Right. Well, like Ray said, you know, sometimes we need to be in other places. And, hey, look, we're only meant to be here for a limited time as it is, and some of us are more limited than others. You know, what can I say? I'm actually shocked I'm still here myself. But, you know, when your ticket is punched, your ticket is punched, and there's probably a purpose behind that, too, but I'm not a large enough creature to fully understand it. So, funny thing, I've had to preside over more of those sorts of circumstances than anything else. I mean, only a couple of weddings and things, but honestly, it's usually the multi-faith guy shows up during, you know, mourning of one type or another. That's when they usually need me for something. But anyhow, you know, and if depending on your belief, life is not ended. Merely the body is. And so that's that. Anyhow,
And, you know, hopefully your spirit, whether the spirit is that type of, you know, religious, you know, context of it, or just the energy, which is what I kind of lean to, is, you know, the energy, you know, keeps flowing, so,
right.
You know.
Right, or again, we could go go ahead. Sorry.
I would say on topic, you know, I'd like to point out the passing of someone a lot of us grew up with on TV, and that was a gentleman by the name of Jack Lanza, but most of us knew him as Black Jack Mulligan. He just passed away.
Oh, the wrestler?
I believe he was 71. Yeah, the wrestler, Black Jack Mulligan.
Oh, wow. I did not
know. I remember him. I remember the wrestler.
Let's see. I'm trying to find exactly what day it was he passed away, but I was kind of surprised. I mean, I hadn't heard he'd been in any ill health or anything. Let's see.
Well, weird thing to me is that I remember being a little kid.
Did he eat a special candy cane?
Who knows? You know, I remember being a little kid, and his whole thing was he had this glove on his hand, and apparently, you know, grabbed people by the face, and it was too brutal to show on TV, supposedly. no, that was like the gimmick. He had the, go ahead. I'm sorry, you were saying, BP?
Passed December 8th, so two days ago.
Now, bizarre thing, I didn't know he was still alive. Because I just generally assume that people that I saw on TV as a little kid outside of Captain Kirk at this point, pretty much are all gone. You know, we only know he's still around because Shatner will not stop doing stuff, and now he does, you know, Medicaid commercials or Medicare commercials, I think. Or maybe it's catheters. I don't know. He does something for old people commercials.
They're still running old Wilford Brimley in the diabetes commercial.
Oh man! But he's gone. See,
he's gone.
This is Black Jack Lanza. This was Black Jack Mulligan's tag team partner.
See, I thought Black
Mulligan
Jack was dead.
Is he still with us?
I don't know. I thought he was gone.
He did pass away in 2016.
Okay, so I'm not crazy. I'm not having a what do they call it, a Mandela moment here? No.
He's one of the Wyndham family. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
I did not know.
Well, you remember the guy Barry Wyndham, you know. Sorry, you broke up there. Go ahead again.
I said I did not know that Black Jack Mulligan was Barry and Kendall Windham's father.
Yeah. If you remember when Barry Wyndham got, you know, a bit famous there and they started calling him the Widowmaker or whatever, initially he was one of the faces, then he became a heel, then he was I don't know what. But I remember them always saying, oh, he's a second-generation wrestler. I never knew who his dad was exactly, but I knew that the Wyndham family had a couple of people in there, you know, much like Randy Savage was related to God, who was that other guy? The guy that played Mankind, I guess, and
Oh, yeah. Wasn't
Lanny
he also Poffo. Wasn't Lanny Poffo? Leaping Lanny Poffo. That was his.
That's it. But
that was his brother, wasn't it?
But Randy Savage is a Poffo, basically.
Yeah.
Which I did not know for a long time. Yeah.
I'll go ahead and date myself here, you know, because when I was into wrestling, it was Wahoo McDaniels and Ivan Putski and Iron Sheik. I haven't been into it for a long time.
Ivan Putski. That brings that goes back to Bruno Sammartino.
Yeah, Ivan Putski was the Polish Hammer. Gorilla Monsoon was still wrestling back then.
Gorilla Monsoon. George the Animal Steel.
And then to come forward, I actually went to high school with Tyler Blanchard, who was the son of what was his name, Tully Blanchard.
Tully Blanchard. Yeah. He was part of the Four Horsemen with Ric Flair and and they would always change him out.
I wasn't really into it, you know. At that time, I didn't follow or anything, but I did go to high school with him, and he was like a jock guy that kind of, you know, got high on the side, and he would be cool to me, but all the other jocks were, you know, not cool.
I got you. As a little,
then you got me by a few years then, Vance, because that's when I was a big wrestling fan.
As a little kid, I was
in high school at that time, so.
You got me by a few years.
As a little kid, I was extremely aggravated that they made the only Italian wrestler that they had just be one of these perpetual guys who always gets beat up by somebody. Salvatore Bellomo, if you remember, would go out there with
him. Yeah, well, you had Bruno. You had Bruno.
Yeah,
Martino.
Okay, but he wasn't really, at the time I was watching, he wasn't doing that much. It was, you know, he had his son come out and all that, and he was, you know, he's a legend, you know, and it was like he was already a legend.
My family knew him. My family knew him growing up, so he was a good guy.
I got you. Well, you know, I'll point out again that Bam Bam Bigelow was actually a pretty good guy, too.
A lot of them are good guys.
Interesting. Same town I grew up in. He was actually captain of the wrestling team, like regular wrestling, in the same high school I graduated from. A few years older than me. Scotty Bigelow was. Yeah. His real name was Scott, and his brother was larger than he was. Just saying. You know, we used to drink at one of the same bars, which is this little hole in the wall next to the Stone Pony. At one point, it was called J.V. Higginbottom's, but it was like just this little biker spot next to the rock bar. And he hung out with the bikers. He rode a Harley and all that kind of good stuff. Good guy, actually. And a very, very, very strong individual. Stronger and more nimble than he looked, I assure you.
Interesting.
And on that point, I did meet Steve Austin a couple of times, and he's not nearly as big as he looks on TV, and you know, he's still, you know, big enough to whip my butt, but you know, it's like, you know, I was like, oh, this is, I thought you were huge, you know.
wrestling may be staged, but their size isn't. In general.
No, you know what? Watching...
Yeah, like I said, I thought Steve would be a lot bigger. Like I said, he's probably 6'2", 6'3", or something. And, you know, like I said, he's bigger than me because I'm skinny and, you know, I'm 6'1". Mm-hmm. You know.
I got you.
Like,
but all these guys...
I thought you were a lot bigger.
Yeah, no. All these guys were dwarves, though, next to, you know, at Convention Hall in Asbury Park. I will never forget watching Andre the Giant walk past me. That dude was not just, you know, the 7 foot whatever, but was huge. I mean, to the point of I remember just looking at his hands and going, damn.
I met him as a kid too. He was enormous.
Really big. And at that event, they had a group of guys they called the Wild Samoans, who were not small guys, but next to Andre, yeah, they were. So it was pretty.
Like 7'6" or something.
They used to announce him at 7'4". I'm not sure, but I'll tell you this: at 6 foot, in order to make eye contact, you know, I had to tilt my head back. So, you know, I'm just saying, he was rather large. And appropriately, they gave him the name the Giant. But, you know, BP, we're out of time in this first hour. I think we ought to go to a break. We got a bunch of people on the line. What do you think? Do we need to cover anything before we go to the music and take a rest here?
No, we can go ahead and cut on out, and the quicker we get going, quicker we can get back.
Well, there you have it. My co-host says it, so it's going to happen. Captain Trips is with me. Let's see. Nature Boy is with me. Ray from Down Under is with me. Vanarchy is with me. And, of course, my co-host, BP. So you can be with us, too. 319-527-5016. 319-527-5016. The Friday night open mic has a little less than an hour left. And if you want, you can be part of it. Stay tuned. The Ocelli Effect continues after this.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com. Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough.
Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now.
Go there now.
Go there now.
Revelation through conversation.
In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks by Larry Hancock. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. Larry Hancock's book, In Denial, rips the cover off many of them. Using new files, it exposes things about the Bay of Pigs that no one has ever written about before. It shows why it really failed and why the United States did not learn from it. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. It also shows why other countries today are doing secret operations with more success. This is the book that puts what some want to deny into the light. In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks, Larry Hancock. For more information, go to larry-hancock.com. Pick up your copy of In Denial at amazon.com in digital or physical form.
This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, and you're listening to The Ocelli Effect at ocelli.com.
Do you like history, real history, that you were never taught in schools? Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia, by author Mike Swanson, with new documentation never seen before that'll open your eyes to events that led up to this. Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia, 1945 through 1961. Get your copy today at Amazon.com. Why? The Vietnam War, by author Mike Swanson.
Go ahead, caller.
Hey, I'm interested in the truth about the JFK assassination.
Right. Well, what do you want to know?
Judy Baker's wild claim, Oswald girlfriend, she knew Ruby and Barry, cancer weapons. Really?
I imagine I could claim I have four wheels. It doesn't make me a wagon, but okay.
Oswald was on the kill team and trying to prevent the murder of John Kennedy. Come on now. Has a real expert on the JFK assassination look into her claims?
Go to Amazon.com. Enter Judith Baker in her own words. You'll get results for a digital copy of a book where Walt Brown utilizes her own words and the known evidence in the case to get at, well, a different perspective, let's say. You can get Judith Barry Baker in her own words from the author himself, signed if you request it, by contacting Dr. Brown at kiasjfk@aol.com. It's a fun book, and it actually dissects the many, many fantastic claims. Judith Barry Baker in her own words.
Thank you for all the great information.
Ocelli.com.
Revelation through conversation.
We'll be right back.
second hour of the Ocelli Effect continues now at Ocelli.com. Of course, you could be hearing us some other time, some other place. Either way, welcome to the show. It is Friday night, and we're less than an hour until the Age of Transitions begins at 10 p.m. Eastern on the live stream. But that's yet again another thing you can catch in podcast form anytime. I urge you to go to Ocelli.com, though, and get the podcast, because not every podcast is able to make it out to every platform anymore. We had the attack on the RSS feed. We had a switchover. We have now complaints from people that are using free applications, and now they're adding commercials to my show. I am not doing that. Somebody else is. And it's not my choice what you get. Sometimes you're getting things based on a regional concern because you have a free version of an app, I guess. Nothing I can do about it. Sorry. But if you go to Ocelli.com, you just get what? Mike Swanson's commercials, because he is a direct sponsor of the show. You get, book commercials maybe in the middle of the show, but that's it. If you're getting other stuff, it's because you're using a free service to pick up the podcast. And my apologies, but nothing I can really do with it right now. Anyway, here we are on a Friday. B. Pete, my co-host with me, Vanarchy is on the line. Nature Boy might still be out getting a smoke, but he is also still connected to the show. And you, the listener, could connect if you're hearing me live. 319-527-5016. And that number only works when we are live. A couple of people recently called when the show was not airing live. So understand, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern time, Monday through Friday, is when the show is live. And only when I'm announcing that calls are being taken will you even have a chance to connect. Otherwise, there was a guy, I think 2 days ago or something, that was sitting on the line for like a half hour for no reason, because there was no show that was connected to the phone lines. I'm just saying, I'm not trying to make the guy feel bad or anything, but only if you're listening to the live show and you're sure of the time should you call in. 319-527-5016. I'm not sure what he listened to for a half hour, because usually if you call in and you hear the show as it's going on, that means it's connected. Otherwise, if you call in, you hear the little announcement, get ready for the Ocelli Effect, and you hear nothing, the show is not live at that time. 319-527-5016, or reach out to me, charles.ocelli, on Skype when the show is live. And, oh, by the way, same number applies to the Don Jeffries Show and Aaron Franz and Uncle as well. Same number you can call in, same ways to connect. Anyway, B. Pete, I'll turn it over to you. Like I said, it looks like Nature Boy's back to his mic. Vanarchy's still on the line. Vance is there. Here we go, co-host, take over.
Well, I'm curious to know if any of the people who called in got any topics that they want to cover. It's an open floor. I mean, I got a couple, but I don't know if we want to get into them right now, like the Jesse Smollett case. That verdict came out today.
Oh, juicy.
Juicy, baby doll. Juicy.
Well,
I got him on five. Just,
how do you say Jesse with a U? So I look at it and I'm like, it's juicy? I guess. I know it's Jussie, whatever. You know what? I don't care. I don't care about this guy. I see he was convicted on 5 out of 6 counts, and I'm like, I really don't care. I guess Chicago is, getting back at him for wasting their resources, and fair enough. What can I say? right? I mean, I guess he could still also face a perjury charge separate from this case as well. Which is interesting in a legalistic sense, but it's just kind of one of those things where it's like, ay, ay, ay. Also, there was that situation of that police officer that she claimed she and announced when she was operating against a traffic stop that she was going to pull out her taser, pulled out her gun, and shot that kid. That trial's going on. Here we go with legal news. I don't know, but I'd rather hear from everybody else. So should we start with Vance or start with Nature Boy?
Well, let's go to Vance. What's happening your way, Vance?
I'm here. I not to, I guess to t- tag on to a bigger topic or whatever, I did it, reach out to a buddy of mine that lives in the Czech Republic today, and, you know, about the Ukraine situation and all that, and he is a younger guy, and he's not really, you know, super politically motivated or whatever, and lives in kind of a small town, you know, in Czech Republic, and the way I met him was he was a knife smith and bladesmith, and I was one of the first people, I was the first person in America to buy one of his knives, and he was 24 years old at that time. And I sponsored him, I helped him, hooked him up with some places to stay when he came over here to go to a blade show and, you know, do his stuff. And in fact, right here at this bar, Spirits, where I'm at right now, the owner of the bar has a little recreational vehicle out here, and I hooked him up to stay there, you know, overnight. And their first child was conceived either right there or at the next place that they went and stopped, because they're like campers and all that kind of stuff, and they would just travel around and stay at different campsites, and they weren't staying in hotels and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I hooked them up with a few people to stay with and other knife makers and stuff. And but anyway, so I reached out to him to see what, you know, the basic news and all that kind of stuff is over there in their area related to the Ukraine thing. And like I said, his English isn't super great, but it's a whole lot better than my Czech. And so I asked him, you know, how was everything, and you know, what's the word on the Ukraine situation over there, and he said that, in my opinion, it's a big political BS. Ukraine would like to join the EU, and it's a problem for Russian. Putin don't want his neighbor to connect to the West. And so, you know, I said, well, thanks, you know, and I asked him, you know, what's the situation with the COVID stuff over there? Are there forced vaccinations being enforced and stuff? And basically now he's a teacher, since he's got two kids now since the time when he came here and then got pregnant and so now he's a teacher at a vocational school where he teaches machining. You know, he's a machinist. He's teaching, you know, people machinists. So he says starting to be forced for government employees like police, soldiers, firefighters, and medics, not teachers like me. I'm vaccinated because I want to go to the bar on Friday.
Okay.
And so apparently they got some kind of, you know, COVID passport, you know, that you know, they're starting to enforce. And he asked, and in Texas, you must be if you want to go to the bar or concerns. And I said, anyway, I said, our governor's not enforcing mandates. Most teachers are vaccinated, but students can opt out and not wear masks in most districts. And we don't follow any rules at Spirits, you know, at the bar here.
Right.
And no one's died yet. And I asked him if he would consider calling in to the show to, you know, give us like a Czech report or whatever. And he hasn't responded to that or whatever. But apparently, you know, it's kind of the similar thing, you know. And I got my feelings on, you know, the EU and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I was trying to reach out. But apparently the internet's still working there in Czech. And
right.
I'll try to get some more conversation in with him to see if he can, you know, get any inside, you know, non-mainstream, you know, insight into what's going on over
there.
Well,
I'll tell you this, in case there is a language barrier as far as clarity goes, Vance, I don't know if you know this, but on Skype there is a way to put a translator in place, which I do with one of my contacts in Belarus. And also one in France, because when they want to communicate to me in text, they might be able to speak, but they're not able to text in English. It's not perfect, apparently, but it does help. I don't know if that helps, but the funny thing is, again, though, my multiple contacts there in that part of what used to be the Soviet Union, they're not responding to me either. And Amir, it's not just a matter of him not being on Skype. I've tried to email him as well. And I don't know if it's all about the EU or if it's about NATO or if it's two separate issues or both of them go together. But there's definitely political theater going on here. But on the ground, you know, sometimes this stuff has consequences. And, yeah, people just wind up getting used as props. And it's not because it's fake. It's just a matter of these are the moves being made. I don't know what the circumstance is entirely and don't fully trust the media reports I've gotten. But apparently something is happening. And I just hope that our friend is okay over there. I hope everybody's okay wherever you are. But especially those that we know, I'd rather not see them swallowed up, you know, as a consequence of somebody else's chess game. Anyway, so that's interesting, though. But, yeah, you could try to connect with them on Skype and see if they want to communicate via text, which might be easier. And there can be translators put in place to go back and forth so that even you could text to them in their language. I don't know how well that works for them because I've never actually looked at it, but it gives me a little bit of help when it comes to the written word. You know, like French, I can sort of understand, but it's better if I have the text to help me to, the translator. But I mean, the people that are speaking, you know, the Belarusian people, forget it. It's impossible for me to understand their text otherwise. Different alphabet, I guess, like Russian.
Yeah, and one of the, you know, other, you know, complexities is the time difference. And, you know, I called him like a couple months ago for the first time in a long time at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and that was like, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning there. You know, so right. You know, it's you know, is he going to have time to, you know, is he going to get up at, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning to call in, you know, before he's got to go teach school or whatever. But, right. You know, and like I say, he's not really super motivated politically, I don't think,
well, no, fair enough. Shot. But a first-hand report about what he's experiencing on the ground could be just informative regardless of his political orientation. You know, just what's happening would be nice to know, and I don't know anybody who's got a correspondent in the Czech Republic directly. You know, in indie media for sure. So that would be a great, helpful, and informative thing. Anyways, anything else on your mind, Vance? Or, you know, BP, you can figure out what to do next.
Yeah, well, we had Angela Merkel step down. She was Chancellor of Germany for the past 16 years, so we got some new leadership over there for everybody in Europe to get used to.
Schultz.
Might change some things like that.
Maybe. Maybe. I don't, you know, I'm not even fully aware of the dynamic. I just know about the change. And, you know, I know a lot of people complained about Merkel, and there was definitely the conspiracy theory that she's, I don't know, Hitler's granddaughter or some such nonsense. But, you know, who knows? This guy Schultz, I don't know what his deal is. I don't know what the change means, honestly, to the German people. I know it will be influential because it's, if not the largest economy in the EU, it's one of. So I imagine it's going to have some impact, but I don't know what the change will be or if it'll be business as usual. You got any handle on that, BP?
Well, I mean, other than their dealings with Russia over this gas line, you know, most of Europe gets their gas from Russia. So I've heard a few instances where people are saying, well, you know, they'll wait till this winter when everybody's relying on them and then start cutting off the gas to get some capitulation on some things that they want, some concessions from certain countries. So it'll be interesting. This, you know, Germany is relying on Russia for their main gas source. So we'll see how that plays out over the next couple months. Some people have said that if Putin does anything, he's going to wait till the dead of winter to do whatever he decides to do in Ukraine.
Well,
it'll be
any of these,
on them.
Well, any of these fuel-based issues are always pinched at, you know, vulnerable times, right? So, you know, when does the fuel oil prices go up here? Well, when it's cold in certain regions and they can actually, you know, kind of, well, you're going to pay whatever because you want to be warm, don't you? So, you know, they always do that. And that's not, you know, just a Russian thing. And, you know, there's been a drop in the natural gas price. That's the only thing seeming to go down in the U.S., but that's because the winter's been kind of mild so far. I think, again, once they decide to pinch that, it's gonna skyrocket as per usual. Just like during this time of year, no matter what, because people are traveling, you know, things that fuel vehicles go up. Whether it's jet fuel or it's gasoline, it always goes up this time of year because they can charge it. They can get the price. We've had a drastic increase in fuel prices over the course of the year, but as I've stated, I'm pretty sure that's just, well, the industry getting back what it lost in 2020. You know, these people are not going to take losses and just leave it that way. Why should they? They don't have to. So they're going to just squeeze everybody when they can, which is now. And they're doing, you know, it doesn't seem to be taken away from the business so much. Although it is taking a chunk out of anybody's pocket who didn't get a raise to, you know, accommodate this increase in cost. And it's also added to the overall inflation. You know, the different, say, things in the grocery store, they're going, oh, this is at 8%, this is at 10%. Of course, red meat is now up by 25%, according to national averages. Gasoline is up anywhere from 40 to 60% over last year. So, you know, these things will have an impact and continue to cascade through the economy. But like I said, when it comes to Russia doing this stuff, of course, it's going to be strategically placed at the time when, look, you know, people can't just simply conserve because they feel like it. You don't want to freeze to death, pay a price. Pretty simple. I mean, I don't know. Kind of how the world works, right, BP?
Yeah, like them $16,000 bills people were getting in Texas during the freeze thing last time.
Yeah, well, look, you can either pay us or we can shut you off. How about that, you know? So, sure, why not? So with that, don't forget, we still got Nature Boy on the line, BP, unless you want to go to something else.
No, let's hear from Nature Boy. He's back from the smoke.
Yeah, I'm back from my smoke. Okay, so let's lighten it up a little bit. I have some news from the good old state of Florida. You know, anybody in the United States knows there's some good stuff that comes out of there. So I've got two stories. The first one, it comes, both of them come from Miami New Times.
Okay, hold on a second, because you know what? I almost feel like we need to write a Florida theme music or something here. You know why? Because every week I can find stories in Florida that are like, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Alligator. I mean, really, this is what we need. Something. Okay, sorry, Nature Boy. I'll shut up. But
that was good.
That was good.
It's just, you know, something. One of my favorites from the past year is the alligator that they found in a vending machine. He was just in the bottom of the vending machine hanging out. And holy crap, the people at the gas station found him and were like, whoa. It's just alligator in the vending machine. Why not? It floods there, alligators floating by, chomping on people's dogs, you know, and it's just Florida. But always crazy stories out of Florida. Like, no matter what you do, even some of the best naked news stories had Florida roots. But then again, California's insane too. But you know that quite well, mm-hmm. Nature Boy, because... Anyway, sorry. Please continue.
Some parts of California are strange. Other parts are backwoods, and they're kind of strange, too.
Look, it's all on the spectrum. Well, it's all on the spectrum, and Los Angeles is from another planet. But go ahead.
Well, that's a whole nother... We could do a whole episode, 2 hours on just L.A. Okay, let me start off with the first one.
Anytime.
Don't make fun of my voice. I feel bad. I'm really self-conscious about it, Chuck. All right, so sure. Drunk man clocked at 110 miles an hour on I-75 while driving nude. Alligator Alley is Florida's most boring road. It's 75 miles of asphalt cutting through the Everglades. Well, last weekend, 33-year-old Noe Jesus, found a way to liven up the drive. Naturally, he wound up in jail for it. At around 3 p.m. last Saturday, the Florida Highway Patrol was alerted to several calls reporting a Cadillac driving erratically heading westbound on the road.
Now, wait, one second here. A Cadillac doing 110 on a back road.
That's not conspicuous.
No, not at all. Well, first of all, if it's an older Cadillac, that's real scary. These newer ones, I don't know. They look a little more plastic, and, you know, they're fancy and everything. But, do we have an idea what year this was or kind of Cadillac this is? Because, you know, Cadillac even makes SUVs now. So what are we talking about? What kind of Cadillac is this?
It didn't say the model of the car.
Okay, no, I'm just trying to picture it.
Envisioning in Florida the old tuna boats from the 70s with the 460 motors that are floating couches. Hell, you could make a bed and sleep two people in the trunk of some of those things.
But they're also tanks. You know, they hit anything that was made after the year 2000, and that thing is going to be destroyed.
And the bumper might be bent on the Cadillac.
I lost a little chrome, but, you know, just scrape out those Saturns that are under my wheel well, please. Go ahead. Sorry.
Okay, let me find my place. All right, I'm going to... A Florida state trooper spotted the car and clocked it going 109 miles an hour. The trooper then stopped the car and immediately noticed that Jesus was shirtless and had an open 12-pack of Corona wedged between the two front seats. Jesus, a resident of Lehigh's Acres, was ordered to get out the car. And it was then that the trooper noticed he was completely naked. He smelled of alcohol, had bloodshot eyes, and had slurry speech. When he tried to put his pants back on, he nearly fell over. It gets better. Inside, it gets better. Mm-hmm. This is Florida, y'all. Inside the car, the trooper found three women and an empty bottle of Crown Royal. Naturally, he fails his sobriety test and is arrested on a DUI charge and a charge with driving without driving a license to boot.
Okay. So let's get this straight. First of all, the trooper notices after he gets the guy out of the car that there's three other people in the car. It happens to be women with an open bottle of Crown Royal.
Were the women naked?
Oh, I was going to get to that question, but first I wanted to deal with the facts I heard, right? An open 12-pack of Corona. Sorry, go ahead.
Important things first, for the women naked.
No, I want to know too, but I'm just trying to lay out all this stuff. I mean, and failing the sobriety test and also almost falling over putting on your pants are not necessarily the same thing. I mean, I've tried to put on my pants too quick or nervous before and almost fallen over. Maybe it's just me. But if you've been drinking, I guess it makes it harder. Corona, of all things, no license, nude, three women in the car. One wonders not only were the women naked, but where were they on their way to or from? Anyway, maybe those details will come out. BP really wants to know if the women were naked, but is there more details in this story, or is that it, Nature Boy?
No, I wish there was more salacious details, but that's about it. But the only way this could have been better for Jesus was the three women were naked, and it would have made a better story. But that's Florida.
Well, you could have put a gun on the seat and an alligator in the trunk, and then it would have been the full Monty, right?
Alligator being naked in the front seat. Yeah, that could have been a little Bobbitish, if you know what I mean. Ooh, but that's just Florida.
Kevin from Florida just in the sky. Kevin, you live in an open air insane asylum. I love you, man, but you do. Said, you know, just reiterating the old Dave Chappelle line, just sprinkle some crack on him, is what he just messaged me. So, I don't know. Is crack still a thing in Florida? I thought it was all meth. Anyway, maybe I'm not up on Florida. So we don't get to find out if the women are naked, B. Pete. I'm sorry.
Sorry, bro.
Well,
okay.
If they were naked, the story would probably say. So, unfortunately.
Was the alligator.
Vance, you have a question. Go ahead.
Was the alligator male or female? Do you know that ties into it?
Well, there was no alligator here. They were just on a road that cuts through the Everglades. So, you know, there were gators nearby.
I know, but we were talking about the alligator and naked in the front seat.
So. No, I think in this case the gators were merely spectators and therefore not involved. They were innocent bystanders in this particular case, but it is unusual in Florida for the gator to be an innocent bystander. Sorry.
Well, I got to interject a quick little anecdote. The Florida Department of Transportation used to have a problem with people hitting alligators on the road, especially in Alligator Alley. So they were wondering, you know, quick and easy way to pick up the carcasses when it happened. So they came up with this apparatus, and they were trying to sell it to other departments of transportation for picking up debris on the highway. Because the unique thing about this, you put it on the front of the vehicle, and you can be doing highway speed and hit something, and it scoops it up. And they called it the Gator Raider. So they hooked these things up, and they tested and tested and tested. But apparently they didn't test with real alligators. So the first time this thing up, they go busting down the road at 65 miles an hour, and they're going to scoop up this alligator. And basically it was just a chute on the front of the vehicle that had this huge rubber flap on it. Well, they didn't think about what happens when you hit a dead alligator at 65 miles an hour, and the thing exploded. And there wasn't much inside the Gatorator. But they had a bigger mess to clean up when they were done. So when that failed, they tried to sell these things for picking up pieces of recaps and things like that on the interstate. The service vehicle using it can run at highway speed, and it just scoops these things up. It's like a cattle catcher on the front of your truck. It's just this big scoop. The rubber flap is supposed to keep stuff from going back out onto the highway once you hit it. I found it kind of comical that they didn't try this on real alligators until the day they get out there to, you know, show off their new toy. And they end up creating a huge mess on the highway.
You know what's funny about that, too? I'm thinking, I'm surprised they didn't just repackage that and sell it to some place that has the deer problem. Because, you know, maybe the deer exploding... I don't know if it would happen. I guess if an alligator explodes, a deer might explode too. I don't know. Maybe just adjust speed. You know, if you go a little slower, something.
Especially when you know, an alligator hide is tough, you know, compared to a deer skin. So, but when they had pictures of the mess it created, there was alligator all over that road.
Well, you know, maybe if you attach it to a lawnmower type apparatus and you just sort of. You know, shred it and spew it onto the side of the road. It becomes fertilizer. I mean, maybe that's a way to go.
Now you're going into Fargo wood chipper territory, Mr. Chuck.
Well, a mobile wood chipper would clear the carcasses, would it not? You know what's weird about this, too, is that I've seen animal, like, you know, collect dead animal squads here in the South. And in Jersey, they don't really have that. They don't. Down here, there's like specifically a job where you just go and pick up dead animals. And they're usually so busy, it takes them a couple days to get some of them down here, down south. I don't know why, but anyway, sorry, Vance, you were saying something?
Well, you know, just with the physics involved and all that, depending, you know, weight and, you know, speed versus speed, what's the hurry to pick it up? Yeah, it's 65 miles an hour. You mean you can't slow down to 20, you know, 30?
You don't want to slow down and cause traffic problems behind you, you know.
Well, but you can gradually slow. People slow down all the time, and it's no big deal. And I'm just saying, it's like I can't even imagine, you know, having the goal of I want to pick up a dead animal off the road at 65 miles an hour.
I get you, but I mean, again, in Jersey, there's like way more dead squirrels and raccoons in certain places, which people just continuously run over until they finally make it to the side of the road, and nobody goes and picks them up. The deer, on the other hand, do cause problems because people will swerve to avoid them and hit other cars. But I don't know. I've seen that as a job in southern states, but not seen it as a job in northern states. I don't know. Maybe it's just something I missed when I was up there because I lived in areas where there weren't that many animals, I guess. Yeah.
The front of my truck is customized by, you know, a 150-pound buck that I knocked him off the road. He wasn't a problem for nobody at that point, you know. But I understand. I'm just saying, you know, they even have little mechanisms you can put on the front of your ATVs and stuff that, you know, go and scoop up the deer when you shoot it, and it'll just, you know, pick it up, and you don't ever have to pick it up at all. You just, you know, scoop the thing, and the hydraulic lift lifts it up in the front of the ATV, and you carry it back to the camp house, and, you know, hang it up and quarter it or whatever. I understand, you know, picking it up quickly, but, you know, you even with a safety vehicle behind you or whatever, you know, you can safely pick it up without having to go 65 miles an hour, you know, quickly, and out having to get out of your truck or whatever, but, you know.
Fair enough. But now that I know anybody who's an animal lover is tuned out, continue. Nature Boy, you had another story, right?
Before I do that, in some parts of Alaska, this is true, they have a roadkill hotline.
Mm.
So if you hit a deer or a moose, there is a hotline that will call you and say, hey, Albert, yeah, on 65 Route 3, there's a moose sitting on the side of the road.
Yeah.
And as morbid as it sounds, it's a really good idea because it's a good source of meat.
Well, only if you get to it quickly. I mean, that's
Yeah, it's killed. You know, you don't want it splattered, but if you know, if it's in good shape, you can bleed it, then you can quarter it, or you can just, you know, throw it in the back of your truck and do it when you get home.
I got you there, Sarah Palin, but still, you know, it's just...
I can see Russia from my point.
Of course, why not? But, you know, a dead moose is a serious obstruction. I mean, moose are big.
Yeah.
Anyway, you go ahead.
Okay. I have one more story.
You can't load that in the back of your truck.
Mm. Yeah.
You need a crane.
You need a large truck for that.
Yeah, you're just not going to hook that on your back and throw it in your half-ton pickup truck. I've got one more story. So, and you were talking about alligators. So I got a good gator story from Florida.
Of course.
And it also just shows the mentality of some of those people down in that state. Not everybody. So if you're from Florida, this is not a reference to you. But y'all live in Florida. So here it goes. Here's the headline. Accused burglar on run from cops, eaten by alligator. This dude had a bad night. Deputies believe that a 22-year-old Matthew Riggins, what a name, was one of two men suspected of breaking into homes on a ritzy area of Brevard County last month. On the night, deputies combed the area with canine units but couldn't find anyone. Well, it turns out that Riggins had gone to hide in a nearby lake. He allegedly had told his girlfriend earlier in the evening that he was going on a burglary spree and called her again that night to tell her he's being chased by the police. However, Riggins never returned home. His family reported him missing on November 13th. Sorry to laugh. Well, his body was found 11 days later floating in a pond. Investigators found wounds consistent with a gator attack. Quote, He probably went into the lake to hide from the officers and the dog and came across the gator, end quote, Major Todd Goodyear told Bay News Night, quote, to hide somewhere to try to get away and then meeting up with an animal like that? No, I've never heard of that happening before. Authorities located the alligator and conclusively proved that it had attacked Riggins. The animal was euthanized.
See, poor alligator, because, you know, Wally Gator don't know no better. What the hell? You know, a snack showed up at night in his pond.
Probably full of meth, so you know the alligator had a good night that night. Probably didn't sleep a wink.
Well, you know, if you catch a buzz from your midnight snack, I mean, most people won't complain, and I don't think the gator did either. But, you know, sucks. They had to kill him.
Kind of weird. Poor gator, man.
Weird. Poor gator. Poor Wally.
I know, poor gator.
Remember the cartoon Wally Gator?
Vaguely.
My uncle one time brought back an alligator from Florida to New Jersey. You know, had it in a big tank with his, you know, 9 kids. I'm like, what is wrong with you? Anyway, I called him Wally Gator. That's why I think of that all the time.
I remember he wore a hat, right? He had a hat.
Yeah, he did.
Wasn't it like a straw hat or something?
Yeah, I think
like
you...
Like a Tom Huck Finn.
Carnival Barker hat, you know, whatever. I don't know what you're talking about.
Shakey's Pieces. Or Old Farrell's, if you guys are familiar with that.
Can't say
the
that
red
I
stripe
am,
around
okay.
the brim.
Okay. Mm. So, B. Pete, any comments on the gator that ate
now,
the robber story?
Yeah, I'm thinking now, you know, if you could ask the alligator a question like, well, you know, what did he taste like? Would he tell you it tastes like chicken?
He'll probably tell you, I ain't never eat a tweaker again. Whoa.
Well, the ones on meth, you know, the extra crunchy recipe compared to the original recipe, or extra crispy.
Well, maybe, but here's the thing about it, too. Waste not, want not. He apparently didn't eat the whole thing because they found part of his body and then concluded some days later that the gator had ate him. So, you know, he didn't
took
finish
one
him.
Bite and was like...
He was saving some for lunch the next day.
You know, I would hate to give the gator in Florida an Italian accent, but maybe he thought it was too spicy of a meatball. Just saying.
I'm pretty sure my understanding is that, you know, alligators like you know, they let their food rot before they eat it or whatever. Anything other than like a fish or something, they can just swallow in one gulp or whatever. You know, they kill it and then they go stash it somewhere and let it, you know, ripen up, you know.
Well, I forget. Is it crocodiles or gators that do the death roll thing where they grab a hold of something live and roll on it? Or is it both?
I think it's gators.
I think they both do that. I'm pretty sure. If it's a whole like water buffalo or whatever, they don't just eat it and, you know, once, you know, swoop. They, you know, they might take a chunk off of it, but then they like, you know, stash it under a log or, you know, they try to secure it. And,
well, see, there's another. Question: was there any detail in the story to tell us how large the alligator was? Because maybe a whole dude was too big a meal. Do we know how big he was,
yeah.
Dave?
No, there's no statistics on how big he was. But Vance, I was just thinking about, you know, alligators stashing it and coming back for the meal. Once again, poor alligator, man. Chomped the dude enough to kill him, stashed him. Before he could even go finish off his meal, they found him and euthanized him, man. Poor gator.
Well, you know, it's just like leaving your Chinese food in the fridge and then somebody in your house eats it on you. You go back to finish it, and it's not there, man. What the hell? Plus, he got killed through his troubles. I mean, you know.
Yeah, that'd be fucked up. I mean, sorry. I didn't mean to cuss.
That's your second F-bomb of the show, by the way, but thanks.
Oh, it is? Oh, forgive me. I wasn't even aware I did the first one.
Yet, so. Okay, no problem.
Yeah, I caught that one, too.
Well, I guess this is not going on the AM affiliates, is it, gentlemen?
Not this week, no. Just, I'm not going to go find. It's okay. It's just, it's a whole pain in the neck to go find exactly what second you did it, and I got to bleep it. And anyway, is what it is, BP. We only got about 10 minutes left now with the show, so where shall we go from here, my co-host?
Well, I mean, is everybody ready for the upcoming holidays? Do you have any special things that you do over Christmas and New Year's?
Oh, you know, before anybody answers, and maybe we'll go to Vance first, but remind everybody that on the 24th, we are going to do a show, right, BP?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so we're going to do a show on the 24th, and we're going to give away some physical books, which will feature past guests, current co-hosts, and hosts on the network. All I can think of right now is that we're going to have people call in. But if we come up with a more creative way, I got a stack of books here that I want to give away, and were especially given to me to give away. I'm waiting on some from Donald Jeffries. I have Mike Swanson's stuff here. I have Aaron's book. I have a few others, past guests, which I'm not going to announce until day of. And I'm thinking I'll give callers their choice of which one they want. And on the 24th, we're going to do that. So if you got nothing to do on Christmas Eve and you're listening to this show, obviously, call in and get yourself a book. And all you'll have to do then is give me a mailing address and I'll send it out to you. So that way you can start off 2022 with a brand new copy of a book. Some of them are signed. And we'll send along a little bit of this and that with your book too. So you don't just get a book in the mail. That's what we're going to do on the 24th, just to keep that in mind. And that is what, 2 weeks from now, right? Yeah, 2 weeks from now, the 24th. So there you go. Okay, so yeah, if you want to ask Vance or Nature Boy, or we had another caller on the line, but they have since hung up. Yeah, go ahead.
Just kind of a question. Anybody, you know, everybody can put their two cents worth in. Is there anything that you normally do, any special things that you do for the holidays, or things from your childhood, or, you know, just anything special? I'll start off. Christmas used to be a big thing around our house, but since it's funny, you know, your parents pass away and holidays don't become as, I don't know, special. You don't take the time to get together like you used to when the parents were there. And with my family being scattered in several different states, it's kind of hard for everybody to get back together, you know, at the same time. But used to, everybody would come home for Christmas, and then, you know, brothers and sisters all have their own families, and they want to do their Christmas with Santa Claus, you know, at their place with the kids getting up. So it's kind of changed over the years. It's become a much more quiet holiday for me. A lot of times I just go find the nearest family member, we have dinner together, and then the rest of it is watching football and watching movies, pretty much.
Hmm. Well, me personally, I had one big Christmas as a child. That was the year my father died, so 1976. Christmas was big, but, you know, that was about it for me. I don't have much to say. Siblings, I got one, but I didn't grow up with her, and, you know, I'm a weirdo, so let's go to somebody who's a little more normal. Either one of the people on the line could give you a more normal answer or to that.
Vance, anything special or you usually do, or any old habits that you used to take in on the holidays?
So I was going to say it's like, you know, the normal one. I don't know if I can, you know, claim to have that, you know, designation anymore, but definitely I resonate with, you know, BP and I guess are, you know, kind of closer into age than me and, you know, Nature and Chuck. But back in the day, you know, 60s and into the 70s, early 70s, you know, everybody showed up at one of the grandma's or uncle's or somebody's house. You know, you'd change it around, you know, each year, you know, somebody else would sponsor it or whatever, and all the cousins, and, you know, they'd bring the trailers and, you know, sleep in the, you know, and so, yeah, it was a big thing, and And I really kind of miss those days. It's just through this whole transhumanist agenda stuff that they've been having going on for a long time. They've, you know, divided and inflated the prices. You can't afford to go and visit your, you know, relatives like you used to could, and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, that's kind of gone by the wayside. And so I do miss that. And basically this time of year, it's just basically about helping my daughters and making sure their kids get some presents, even though, you know, I got all my issues with the whole mercantilism of the holiday season and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, so that's what I concentrate at this time of year, is just making sure I get them a couple of $300 a piece to buy their kids stuff. And, you know, that's my main focus at Christmas, is, you know, for the kids. And,
oh, yeah. Well, no, that's the only thing that counts to me at this point, too, is you know, for Frankie, basically, because my other kids grew up away from me. And I spent a couple of Christmases with them and tried to make it nice and whatever, but honestly, I mean, that's all it's about to me anymore, is just the sort of thing for the kids. And Frankie being the only one in the house, well, that means it's about him this year, and has been about him the past few years. But, you know, a lot of stuff could be said. What about Nature Boy, though? Christmas.
Well, I used to spend Christmas at my mom's house since I was a kid. And back when, in the 70s, it was the big affair. We even had, one of the neighbors would always dress up as Santa and come in. And at 3 years old, you really think that's Santa. But over the years, it's changed to more just spending time with family. And since the passing of my mom, I'll probably end up going out to my friend's house in the country on Christmas. And like I say, getting drunk and stumbling around the farm, you know, after the parent have a good meal and stuff, and basically just hang out there and go out in the studio, put a little bit of music, have a good night. But, you know, I don't have any kids. My mom has passed. So Christmas is, hey man, it's Christmas. I'll probably end up on Christmas Eve, because that's when my mom and I used to celebrate Christmas. Christmas morning was, you wake up, you have coffee, you hang up, and have a really good breakfast. So I'll probably be here on the 25th hanging out with y'all. And by the way, Chuck, do you realize on Christmas it'll be our 1 year anniversary?
Our 1 year anniversary?
First time I called in was Christmas of last year.
Oh, was it? You know, I usually like to work on Christmas, whatever job I'm doing. I usually, this year it'll be on a Saturday, so I'm not obligated to be on, but who knows? Maybe I'll do that, or maybe I'll run my Christmas stuff as I did on the stream a couple of years. Different, you know, weird songs and funny stuff, and, you know, not only Grandma got run over by a reindeer, but, you know, Grandma dismembered Rudolph, a whole bunch of different versions of that, stuff like that. Clips from Bad Santa I like to run. You know, I've probably mentioned this every year since I've been doing broadcasts, but I was once a mall Santa. That was fun and funny, and I was getting paid more than other people were in the Christmas season. But even when I worked for convenience stores and stuff, I used to like to work on Christmas, because people would come in and actually, you know, be nice to you. And I was doing a favor to other people who had things to do at home. So I was happy to do that. I used to work like 12, 16 hours on Christmas anyway, just because, you know. But Mall Santa is a funny thing. Don't have time now because we got like a minute left in the show, but plenty of fun stories there. I think I told the story about like two girls that hated me from high school coming in, because when I did it, I was 17, which is pretty funny. Because you had a juvenile felon, legally blind, playing a mall Santa, you know, and I wasn't a predator of any kind when it came to that sort of stuff. But if they were able to get a hold of my juvenile record, I probably wouldn't have had that job. Anyways, B. Pete, you got some answers out of these guys. What do you think?
Well, I mean, it's funny how, you know, our habits change over the years, and
I mean, I'm like Nature Boy. I don't have any kids, so I don't have nothing to tie me down. I used to travel on Christmas there for a few years, but then I got, you know, just tired of it. Figured, hell, I might as well, you know, spend my time at home. I work hard enough to create a home. I might as well enjoy it on these days.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a laid-back holiday this year. But I do want to get a list of you, of your authors, of your books, though, because I'm going to put something on Facebook. See if we can generate some more callers to call in and just throw a list of some of the authors up there, and that'll pique their interest.
Fair enough. You know what I'll do is next Friday I'll get a stack of the books in front of me physically, and because I have them in a closet and on a shelf. They're in a couple of different places right now, but I'll actually put them all together next week, and maybe we'll announce exactly which ones will be given away. I know that we got a copy of The War State to give away. We got a copy of Why the Vietnam War to give away. We got a copy of Revolve, Man's Scientific Rise to Godhood, which is Aaron's book, and a few other things. Like I said, I'm waiting on Don Jeffries, supposed to send me some copies of Bullyocracy, I think, and a few others. Anyway, guess what? We're actually all done with tonight's show and got to move on to the Age of Transitions, which should be live right now and will be live in a minute or two here on Ocelli.com. I want to thank Captain Trips, Ray from Down Under, our friend Nature Boy, who is the Wednesday night producer, by the way, and Vanstastic Vanarchy there, who is on every other Monday on the Ocelli Effect but decided to call in tonight. Appreciate you for listening, and BP for co-hosting the Friday nights. And no matter what, remember, I am merely Ocelli. All of you are indeed the effect. Be well.